And reading once again this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, so often we like to stay where it is comfortable, where the pew is warm, and yet you constantly call us to move away from comfort to tackle the issues of the world. We ask that you would help us, O God, not just to hear your words, but to internalize them and to act upon them. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I almost forgot I was a feminist. Well, not really, and it's not something you ever really forget. You don't forget being introduced on the floor of conference prior to your ordination as a wonderful potential helpmate to your husband in his ministry. You don't forget when you applied to fill a team position that only his references were checked, because obviously you were just going to be the little bonus while he did the real work. You don't really forget you're a feminist when you remember that someone on your final interview team asked you how your husband was going to let you go back to work right after the baby was born. But over the years, I had mellowed, like many feminists of my generation had, putting aside some old grievances, because in the end, I mean, we've done okay, really. Most of us got to keep our own name if we wanted to, and most of us got our own bank accounts, and some of us managed to bring up reasonably respectful children, understanding of the feminist cause. So we've let ourselves mellow a bit over the years. But then over the past few weeks, I've made the mistake of watching the evening news and reading too many editorials about the uncovering of sexual harassment cases, and it's like there's been sort of a collective reawakening for many of us. A collective remembering that there are still too many women in our world, in our workplaces, in our families, even in our churches, for whom there is not the respect and the justice for which one would hope. So I've kind of remembered lately that I'm a feminist, not just in my personal life, but as a theologian as well. I've remembered how sad I become when I think that my sisters in other denominations still are not allowed to be ordained. And then I remember that even within our own denomination, where we are so proud that we first ordained a woman in 1936, there is still only one woman holding a preaching position in any of the big churches in Toronto. There is still a notable discrepancy in salary between male and female ministers with equal experience and credentials, even in our denomination. And when I applied for the permanent position here at St. John's, even my best friends laughed and said, "They'll never hire a woman, Sheila." And you did, you silly people. And so when I came to Christ the King Sunday this year and I began to read the lyrics of hymns about a Savior who will rule supreme, a Lord to whom all will be subject, I remembered that while I have learned to live with those images, and I have told myself and others they aren't really meant to be exclusive, I know that there are those within our churches for whom those images not only cause pain, but are offensive to their understanding of who God is and to their own experiences of the divine. And so I welcome the scripture reading from Matthew's gospel today. Well, most of it, anyway, except for his usual harsh judgment. But I welcome most of it as an alternative understanding of what it means to believe in a God who rules supreme. Matthew tells us it means we have a God who believes that the way to have God's grace and love permeate the evil in the world is not through exerting power, but through passionate and compassionate, caring love and grace. Our God exhibits strength and power through turning away from what the world counts as power to embrace a way of truth and mercy and kindness. Our God shows strength through reaching out with tenderness to those who have no strength, no power. And that kind of refreshes the feminist soul. In this passage from Matthew's gospel today, all of the voices that so often go unheard, those maybe of the feminists, those of gays, transgendered, Aboriginal, all of the silenced voices in our society find a voice in Matthew's insistence that Christ's reign is not about the powerful holding court, but it's about all of those who traditionally have no voice finally being heard. It's about those who traditionally have no power being welcomed into God's kingdom. It's about those who thought they would always be judged unworthy finding they are not outside, but actually inside the parameter of God's love and grace. And it's about those of us who have the power, acknowledged or not, never forgetting the cause of working for justice and equality for all. I believe this is a congregation where you embrace and, in fact, welcome diversity. Good Lord, you hired me after all. And I tell you, I was so proud to prove to my friends who said it would never happen that it did. It still makes me smile. But there are so many still without a voice who need to be heard. You know, being a feminist is not just about serving our cause as women. It's about being deeply sensitive to all of those who feel excluded and without a voice. I don't expect any or all of you to identify with my recent feminist reawakening, given some of the news stories of the recent weeks, but I do expect any or all of you will remember that as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to reawaken to our collective story. We were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. It's a story that some of us feel more deeply than others, and some of us take more personally than others. But it is our collective story as people who welcomed one who would bridge the gap between us and our God so many years ago. Once we were separated from our God, but now through Jesus Christ, we are reconciled and welcomed into the warmth of his love, grace, and forgiveness. And so we, all of us, are called simply by our heritage as God's people to carry in our hearts a concern for all of those who have traditionally been excluded by our world, our society, and even our church. It's the reason that in some United Churches, as worship begins, they acknowledge that we stand on land that formerly belonged to our indigenous peoples. It's the reason they use inclusive terms for God. It's a reason they have a symbol on their outdoor sign and throughout the building that says that they welcome all people, regardless of their sexual orientation. But sometimes, you know, when life is going well, when our lives and world are pretty safe and secure, as individuals and as a church, we can forget that we are called. Called by Jesus Christ, and called by whatever it is that stirs deep within our soul, that knows the world should be a world of fairness and equity and justice. And when that call stirs once again, then we know we must follow, we must act. So I urge you to listen to those words from Matthew's gospel through the season that approaches us in the church. In the midst of all that is good and right and life-giving in your own world, remember that we too once were lost, but now we're found. And remember the multitude of people in our world, our country, our communities, and perhaps even within our own families who feel lost, without a voice, alone, afraid, excluded. Listen for their voices and remember it isn't a choice. It is God's calling that we find a place for them. Not as charity, but as full and welcomed members of our community and of God's community of love and grace. Thanks be to God for inclusive love.